All right. Hey, Shelly gets so excited every time. It's awesome. I bet you're jealous. I bet you wish your wife yelled every time you came up on the stage. Just kidding. She does, says Gillette. Hey, so this morning we're continuing a series called Trees. And if you haven't been with us, it's really kind of it's selfish on my part. It's a guilty pleasure. I love trees. And so I kind of just wanted to do a series about trees because the Bible has a lot to say about trees and I have an affinity for them. In fact, I love it so much. We may even go one more week of the series because there's so many things that I'm trying to get into. We usually go 4 weeks on series just because you usually have four Sundays in a month and it kind of keeps things, I like order, right? But we may just blow that thing up. So we'll see. If you come next week, who knows? We may be doing trees. We may not. You never can tell. So this week, we're continuing our series called Trees. And if you haven't been with us for any of it, I'll kind of just give you the really quick backstory, the Cliff Notes version of where we've been. The first week we talked about Psalms chapter 1, and it says that you are a tree planted by streams of water, and we talked about the implications of that and what it means. The second week we talked about the tree of knowledge, the infamous tree of knowledge that kind of led to the fall of man. Remember, trees don't kill people, people kill people, guns don't kill people, people kill people, right? It wasn't a tree's fault, it was Adam and Eve's fault. And you know, I had a friend of mine, really, really smart guy, he's a doctor, so you got to be smart if you're a doctor, right? Unless you get an honorary doctorate from the school of whatever, which that's my goal in life. So anyway, I was talking to him, and he was like, hey, so what did you guys talk about today? And I told him we talked about, you know, Genesis and Adam and Eve. And he was like, where was Adam when Eve was eating the fruit? And you know where he was at? Right beside her, watching it all go down, not saying a word. Boy, sit there and shut up. And he did. And so, who knows? Who knows what the story would have looked like if Adam would have manned up? We always blame Eve, right? We're always like, oh, Eve, you know, you ruined it all. Way to go. But if Adam would have stepped up and said something, who knows what the story of humanity would look like? And then last week, we talked about dendrology, which I'm sure we're all familiar with. It's simply the science of classifying trees, and we decided that we needed to classify ourselves. Are we good trees that produce good fruit, or are we bad trees that produce bad fruit? And that's kind of where we've been so far. But the premise of the series is really simple, man. It's just to look at trees and see what they can teach us about God, and more importantly, what we can do with that truth, how we can apply that truth to our lives. Because, man, I get so sick of theoretical knowledge, right? You meet people that are really smart, but it has no real-world application. Like, who cares? Like, it's irrelevant to me. It doesn't matter to me. Unless what you know translates into action, don't come at me with that stuff, man. So, this week, what we're going to do is look at a verse that I've read it, because, you know, I've read through the book that it's in multiple times, and I guess I just glossed over it. You ever do that? You wouldn't do that. Well, let me tell you what I did. I just read it and kind of glossed over it and didn't stick out to me for whatever reason at that time. And then, so as I was kind of thinking about doing this series called Trees, and I'm looking for all of the references, remember, ABC, always be collecting. So anytime you see, this is what I do. Anytime I see a quote or I read a verse that seems appropriate to something we're going to do down the road, I use Evernote and I store it away. I'm like a squirrel with his acorns. You didn't think I really had acorns, did you? Uh-huh. So I store it away. And so anyway, Isaiah 61, we're all familiar with verses 1, 2, and part of verse 3. But the second half of verse 3, for whatever reason, it's like the stepchild of Isaiah 61. And I'll prove this to you. Isaiah 61, verses 1 and 2, Jesus even quoted this in kind of what was one of his first, if not his very first sermon. And so in Isaiah 61, it says this: the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God. And here's what's really cool about this verse. So Jesus, if you fast forward several hundred years, Jesus is sitting in a temple. And the way that church used to go, there were very few people who were educated enough to actually read. And so they would come in, the priests would come in, and they would actually read Old Testament scribes or, you know, chunks of the Old Testament to the people that were there. And so Jesus was now a rabbi at this point. And so it's kind of his turn. He gets to get up, stand up and read. So he walks, I guess, he's got a really cool pulpit, walks to the pulpit, and he reads Isaiah 61, verse 1 and verse 2, and then he goes and sits down. And he's like, mic dropped. Because it was about him. It was about himself. Mic drop, not phone drop. Come on, man. And so that's verses 1 and 2. And then continuing on, it says, it's to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. And that's usually where we stop. Like, anytime you see this verse referenced or talked about, that's where it stops for some reason. But the second half of verse 3 says this: they will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. And I was like, that's cool, right? Like, anytime you see something that's it's like it stands out, it's unique, it just really fascinated me that I had read this hundreds of times, and I'd never noticed that we are called oaks of righteousness. Like, how powerful is, you know what an oak tree is, right? They're gargantuan, they're huge, they're massive, they're beautiful. And to be an oak of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor, I was like, what the heck does that even mean, right? There's so many different ways I think we could go with that. There are so many different things that I think you could kind of take away from that. But as I was thinking about oak trees, the first thing that came to mind were acorns, right? Oak trees drop. You've been walking through the woods. I'm going to throw these at everybody. They don't hurt at all. Just kidding. I'll throw you one because I know you can catch. Oh, you had one job, bro. I'll do it again. Two hands while you're learning. That's good. So we've got these fancy acorns, and these aren't just acorns. These are like gargantuan. What kind of acorns are these, Rob? Where's Rob? Where'd he go? Oh. He told me they're a special oak tree acorn. They're magic acorns. So anyway, the first thing that came to mind when I was thinking about oak trees or acorns, because we've all probably, if you've walked through the woods or you've walked under an oak tree and you're stepping on acorns, it's like, right? And so we know that oak trees produce acorns. And I think one of the things that's lost on us, one of the things that we forget about acorns, is that these tiny little things grow into gargantuan, massive, beautiful, lasting oak trees. These little bitty things, right? This is technically the fruit of an oak tree. The fruit of an oak tree eventually can turn into this huge, lasting, beautiful oak tree. And so as I was thinking about what it means for us to be oaks of righteousness and a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor, I was so kind of lost in this idea of acorns and how small they are and how big they can be. And I really just have one conclusive thought on this. We probably could come up with 1,000 different things to talk about. But the one thing that I want to talk about today is how these acorns, when we invest them, when we plant them into the lives of other people, that it makes a huge difference in their lives. And the acorn that we're specifically talking about today is the acorn of appreciation. That would be a good time to say, mm-hmm. Mm. Or if you're burning, just be like, ooh, pasta. Like, whatever, wherever you're at on that, right? And so when we plant appreciation in the lives of people around us, the lives of those that God has put around, because here's the deal, man, you can believe that everything is happenstance or you can believe that it's providential. And I just believe that God puts the people around us that he wants to put around us, and they're there for a reason. It's our responsibility to steward those relationships. And when you don't appreciate them, you're not being a good steward of the relationships that God has put in your path. But when you do appreciate, then it's being a good steward. It's believing and living out that, hey, man, I really do believe that God puts you in my life, and I'm going to appreciate you. And ultimately, it's just an appreciation of him, and you show it to them. Yeah. Think about that for a minute, right? And so one of the acorns that we can plant in the ground and expect to become a massive oak tree is the acorn of appreciation. When you start thinking about appreciation in terms of an investment, I think it just changes your whole perspective, right? Because here's the way that we view appreciation. I will appreciate you when you do something for me. Like, that's the only time that we think about appreciation. It's like, what am I getting out of it? What feelings of gratification am I going to receive? But when you start to think about appreciation in terms of an investment, it changes the way that you view it. It changes the way that you do it, right? It's completely different. Every appreciative word that you speak to someone, every act of appreciation, every expression of gratitude is an investment in the life of that person. And when you start to view it like that, like you're giving to them, not expecting from them, it changes everything. For one, it gets your stinking eyes off of you and doesn't allow you to live as selfishly as you probably want to live, because we all have that sinful nature that wants to live pridefully and selfishly. I know it's not a struggle for you, but it's a struggle for me, right? It's like planting an acorn in the ground. Think about this for a minute. Like, think about the potential that this has, right? I mean, I know it's. I wish we had an oak tree in here for reference, right? So we could just show you the difference, but I think we all understand. And so when we think about the potential that it has, when we think about the payoff, the dividends that it could have, man, I think that it helps us to be more stick-to-itive, right? To not stop doing it, because when you don't feel appreciated, you stop appreciating. And that's just not where you need to live. You need to have the right perspective. Appreciation doesn't cost us anything, but it pays huge dividends. Think about that for a minute. Like, appreciation doesn't cost you anything, but it pays huge dividends. And so the focus today that we're going to be with the angle of appreciation that we're going to be focused on today is appreciation in our relationships. Because we could do a whole series on appreciating the things that we have, the circumstances that we have, being content in whatever circumstances that you're in, and not being so materialistic and not getting caught up in this, that, or the other. Or like it says in Galatians chapter 5, not getting caught in the trap of all-consuming yet never satisfied wants, right? We could talk about that. We'll save that for another day or month, whole series, right? But let's just talk about appreciation in terms of the relationships that God has put in our lives. And again, viewing them as such, viewing them as providential, not happenstance, I think helps you to begin this appreciation. So that's our first point, is our appreciation starting point. Like, where do you begin? And I think the easiest place to begin, that's ironically the most overlooked when it comes to appreciation, are those that are closest to us. Am I the only one that's guilty? Y'all are looking at me like I'm cray cray, right? Am I the only one that takes for granted those that are closest to me? Am I the only one that even though I know for a fact I should be appreciating them more, sometimes I don't, and sometimes I'm lazy when it comes to appreciating those that are closest to me? And that's where we should start with our appreciation. If you're married, start with your spouse. If you've got kids, start with your kids. Like, start with those that are closest to you. Those are the ones that you need to start practicing appreciation, because this is what I'm convinced of. Appreciation takes practice. You talking about practice? I'm talking about the game. Where are all my dudes? You guys are dead today, man. That was golden. So anyway, I think it's one of those things that the more you do it, the better you get at it. And the more sincere it becomes. Like, because you know how sometimes when you're trying to do the right thing, it comes across as kind of cheesy? You ever done that? Like, you're trying to be kind, and you're like, God bless you. And you're just like, man, I feel so awkward, right? But the more you do stuff like that, it becomes more natural for you, and it's something that you get better at. And so the more you appreciate, starting with that first concentric circle of your family or your closest friends, it gets easier, and it spreads, so into your outer relationships, right? People that you spend less and less time with. But those that are closest to us deserve the best from us, right? I heard this quote, and I've used it 1,000 times, but it's so true and it's so good that we'll use it over and over and over again. Those that are closest to you deserve the best from you. And for whatever reason, like, let's just have an honest moment. For whatever reason, we don't always do that. For whatever reason, we talk down to our spouse instead of appreciating our spouse. For whatever reason, we love other people's kids because we only have to see them for about 10 minutes at a time, but we get so irritated with our kids and we're frustrated and we're like, shut up, leave me alone, get out of my way. That's my frustration. I don't know about you, but that's where I'm living, right? And I think that what we need to do is we need to make sure that we take the time to appreciate those that are closest to us. And here's the deal. This is something that I'm guilty of. Today I'm just indicting myself all over the place. Right. One of the things that I do is, like, I appreciate people in my head, but I don't verbalize it or I don't communicate it. And you know what that is? Nothing. absolutely nothing. It's irrelevant. It doesn't matter what you think in your head if you don't communicate it to them. It doesn't matter how you feel about them if you never express that to them. And so, like, I'll have these moments where I'm like, man, I love my son. I mean, I'm just thinking about him. Like, man, I want to go beat him up, like, play fight. That's what we do. I'm like, just wrestle around on the floor. That's because that's what dudes do, right? And I'm just like, it'll be the middle of the day. He'll be at school. I'm thinking about going and checking him out just so we can go fight. What's wrong with that, right? And so, like, I have all these thoughts, and then I pick him up from school, and after about 10 minutes, I'm like, man, I'm going to take you back to school. And so here's my point. Let's make sure that what we appreciate in our head actually, Jesus? That wasn't me. I don't have that kind of control, man. Let's just keep this thing going. Let's make sure, can y'all appreciate the voice from the darkness? Yeah. Let's make sure what we appreciate in our head actually gets verbalized and communicated. Like, if you feel a certain way about someone, then you need to make sure they understand that you feel a certain way about them, right? And we could be giving some love advice right now, too, but we're not talking about that. We're talking about appreciation, right? Just think about this in a hypothetical sense. Imagine you've got this hypothetical family, right, that lives in a vacuum without any pressures from the world. And you've got a dad who appreciates mom. And you've got mom who appreciates dad. And you've got dad who appreciates the kids. And you've got kids who appreciate the dad. And you've got mom who appreciates the kids. And kids who appreciate the mom. And you've got kids that actually appreciate each other. Wow. That is mind-blowing, right? And I think it can be like this. I think it should be like this. And I'm not saying that obviously we've all got our challenges within our families, but I think our families could be such that we appreciate each other. We appreciate the contribution that each individual member brings to the family, right? It's like, you know, a picture of the church. Like, we've all got different gifts and callings and talents, but when we get together, it's just this beautiful smorgasbord of a mess, right? It's a beautiful mess. And our families are kind of like that. And we should appreciate the things that hey, maybe you've got a son that does this, and you should appreciate that, and you've got a daughter that does this, and you should appreciate that, and all the sacrifices that the wife makes. I'm just using my personal scenario, right? Like, all of the sacrifices that people make to make the family what it is and special and unique, we need to appreciate that. Because when you do, what that does is it flies in the face of kind of some of the natural feelings that you have in families, like the natural competition and the natural rivalry and the natural drama that happens in families. When you appreciate, all that stuff begins to alleviate. That was poetic. That's cool. And so what happens is, again, the more you do it, the easier it gets, the more natural it becomes. So it kind of carries over into these concentric circles. So we've got circles. I like bullseyes. It's cool. So the first one is your family. So you've got your family is the tightest circle. And then the next one would be your friends. And here's the deal. I want to be friends with people who appreciate me. And I want to be the kind of friend that appreciates my friends. Because you know what's so much easier when it comes to friendships? It's so much easier just to, like, rag on each other, and have fun with each other, be goofballs. But what if we can cut through the crap sometimes and tell people how we actually feel about them? You want to know what a real man is? Because, guys, guys are awful at this, like, so bad. Because we've got this, you know, messed up perspective or view of what a man is. But a man is somebody that can tell you how they really feel about you. Right? And the way we only interpret that is, well, if I don't like you, I'm going to tell you. But if I like you, I ain't going to say anything about it. That is the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my entire life. A real man is not somebody that can just throw punches and jokes at you, but it's somebody that can tell you that they love you with a straight face and maybe a tear in their eye. So it happens. I was watching a show with my son the other day. Have y'all seen Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs 2? All right. So there's a random character. It's the Mr. T character, right? I don't know, and he starts to cry, and he was like, but not this man, and he sucks the tear back up in his eye. It's like, that is awesome. And so that's appreciation then carries over into our friendships, and man, I think we want to be friends with people who appreciate us, and I think people want to be friends with us when we appreciate them, and more than that, man, it's a God-honoring scenario. It's a God-honoring life, and then it progresses into your work relationships. How many of you have worked with people or currently work with people who don't appreciate anyone or anything? Don't raise your hands. Don't raise your hand. Everybody's like, oh, that's the first time I got y'all to lift your hands in church. That's how we're going to, during worship, I'm going to ask that question. Everybody's going to be like. So we've worked with people. We've been around people in our work relationships that don't appreciate. I think when you appreciate, when you're appreciative, that you are a more valuable asset to the company that you work with or the client that you're working for. I want to work with people that are appreciative. I'll go out of my way to help people that I know are appreciative. And I think you're just a more valuable asset when you're appreciative. And those are the kinds of people that other people want to work with. And here's the deal. Who knows? Maybe because you've got the right kind of attitude and you're an appreciative person that it'll create more opportunities for you to do greater things and to do more and advancement and promotion and all of those things. Not that we go into it with that mentality. It's not self-seeking when we're appreciative, but it may be a fringe benefit. And so it's just kind of, it helps, I think, to see the concentric circles and how when we start in the middle and we practice it, it becomes more natural and it becomes more natural. And not just natural, like, you know, we're faking natural, but it becomes who we are. Like, we have appreciative hearts, and that just overflows into the lives of those that we come in contact with, right? So that's the first one, is appreciation starting point. Like, where do we start with these fancy acorns? The second thing is this. What is the fruit of appreciation? Like I said, technically, acorns are the fruit of an oak tree. I'm not going to do it, right? I was thinking about that. I'm like, would that be weird if I ate an acorn? And I decided it would, so I wouldn't do it. But let's talk about the fruit of appreciation. Like, what are the byproducts of appreciation? What are some of the things that happen when we appreciate? I think that it pays huge dividends. Like I said, it doesn't cost us anything, but it has a major effect in our lives and the lives of other people. So here are just a few things that I thought of that happen when we're appreciative. And the first one is this. It gives us more influence. Like, being appreciative gives us more influence in the lives of those around us. More importantly, here's the most important part of that. It's a great way to display, like the second part of that verse, it says you will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor, right? Ultimately, when we appreciate people, we're just pointing people to Jesus. Like, a thankful heart at the end of the day is just an expression of gratitude to God for what he's done for us. And so when we're thankful and we're appreciative and people see us as such, we're ultimately just pointing them to Jesus. We are a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. And so that gives us influence in the lives of the people that are around us. Just imagine what that looks like. Imagine how much impact and influence you can have when you appreciate people. Because we've heard the old expression, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And what we want to do, I know what I like to do, is I like to talk first and listen second. I like to tell you what you should do first and hear your problems after I've given you my advice. But you're not going to listen to my advice anyway, so what's the point, right? Because the only people that ask, this is just, take this for what it's worth. The only people that ask for advice from me are cray-cray people. And cray-cray people, they never listen to your advice anyway. So I'm like, why are you wasting my time, bro? Anyway, for whatever that's worth. You may understand. If you don't, you're cray-cray. You the one. I'm just kidding. So people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And I think one of the ways that they understand that we care about them is when we appreciate them. And then they'll be interested in what it is that we have to say. But if you don't appreciate them, they don't know that you care. So why in the world would they ever listen to you? And for whatever reason, we tend to get this backwards, but appreciation gives us influence in the lives of those that are around us. The second thing is this. Appreciation, another fruit, is appreciation produces productivity. Appreciation gets stuff done, man. Like, and I know that a lot of us are the type A folks in the room. We're always trying to get stuff done. And a lot of us, we've kind of got our own agenda, which is fine. Just make sure your agenda lines up with the will of God, right? Like, don't be trying to drug traffic and all that kind of crazy stuff, unless you tithe. That's a joke, but you better tithe. I ain't playing. But here's the deal. Like, we like to get stuff done, and I know we like to feel productive. And a lot of times we feel like people aren't helping us do the things that we're trying to do. And the first thing that you need to know about that is nobody will ever be as passionate about what you're as passionate about, right? Nobody will ever have the same level of passion that you do for the thing that you're passionate about. It's just not going to happen. But I do think that you can get people to help you along the way if you appreciate them. I don't know about you, but when I feel appreciated, I will bend over backwards to help somebody that appreciates me, right? Like when I know for a fact that you appreciate what it is that I do, I'll go out of my way to help you do whatever it is that you got to do. That's just how I roll, right? And I suspect a lot of us are the same way. It's probably the love language and all those crazy personality things. Like, we like to feel appreciated and respected. So for those of us that are, what's the love language? Words of affirmation. Just tell me how much you love me and appreciate me. That's all I need, right? And feed me every once in a while. But you get stuff done when, that was really funny. That's okay to laugh in church. I don't know, you guys. You can get more things done when you appreciate people. And so the last one is this, and it's reciprocity. Really simple to say, right? And here's the thing. Reciprocity is simply, it kind of comes back to you. It's a circle. It's a reciprocating saw. Have you ever seen one of those? Like a saw's all wah, right? And so it goes out and it comes back, and it goes out and it comes back. Or you've also seen it in circular motion, right? Reciprocity. And here's the thing about appreciation. You get back what you put in. And I don't know about you, but I go through life, I ask myself probably once a week, man, does anybody even care what I do? Does anybody even appreciate what I do? And here's what is so stupid about this. Like, we know better than this, right? Like, the problem is most people don't see what you do, so why would they ever appreciate what you do? Like, you know all of the things that you do and all the time that you give and all the sacrifices that you make, so you expect appreciation, but are you willing to give the level of appreciation that you expect? And that's what happens when we appreciate other people. It opens this door for us to be and feel appreciated. When you start to, this is kind of my take on it. When you start to appreciate people, it kind of creates an awareness of appreciation. It's like, oh, well, he was thankful to me for this. What could I be thankful to him for? Right? Or what could I be thankful to her for? So you have this reciprocity going on. You have this cycle taking place, but you only get out of it what you put into it. And here's the kind of the crazy thing. It's the counterintuitive thing. You never run out of appreciation. Like, it doesn't stop. It's like this well that never runs dry. And I'm convinced that as you give appreciation, God will fill your heart with more appreciation so that you can give more appreciation, and God will fill your heart with more appreciation. And I think it changes us, and I think it changes that first circle and the second the circle and the third circle. It changes our environment. It changes our atmosphere. It changes our culture when we have hearts that are appreciative. So those are the three fruits of appreciation. Three fruits, three acorns, one for you. Sorry, Sam. Right. What kind of noise does an acorn make when it hits you in the head? It's one way to find out. We're going to wrap up with this because I'm getting kind of hungry, and I know we've got the potluck coming up next. And if you have not made plans to stay for the potluck, you need to stay for the potluck because somebody was talking some serious noise about blueberry cheesecake. I don't know what's up with that, but I'm going to find out. So here's the application. This is what we can walk away from this and do, right? Here are the handles. Take some time to find things to be appreciative about. Every one of us, we all know how easy it is to find the flaws in people, but what if we took a little maturity and found the potential in people? We found things to be appreciative of them for and about them. And I think it just takes a little bit of effort. It is a small effort that has a huge reward and dividend. And here's the thing, like, think about them for a minute. Let's stop thinking about ourselves and the effort that we have to put in because you got to appreciate me. Golly. Think about the difference that you can make in their life. Think about the circumstances maybe that they're coming from where they've got a family that never told them they love them or never told them how much they appreciate them. And they get around people that start to celebrate everything about them, that start to celebrate the things that they can do, the people that they are, the heart that they have. And then what you can do is you speak into the potential of people, their lives can be changed. They can become an oak of righteousness because you planted an acorn. And all you had to do was say a word. All you had to do was express some gratitude. All you had to do was find one thing about them and appreciate that one thing. Let's not be so selfish that we don't take time to do that. Let's not make everything about us. Because come on, man. I think we all know better than that. Like, this life is not about you. And it's never going to be just about you. It's always about us. Let's have this bigger picture in mind. Let's create a culture of appreciation. So that's the first application. The second thing is these are like real life things we can do. Write letters of appreciation. When is the last time you wrote a thank you note? Right? And I think we leave that to like the really crafty Pinterest people because they do like fancy, cool thank you notes. But it's not beyond any of it. You can type a thank you note if you have terrible penmanship. Right? Like write a thank you note because then somebody has this tangible proof of your appreciation of them. It's not just the word that they may or may not forget, but it's an actual piece of paper, a card that they can hold. And you know what I do with all the thank you notes that I get? I keep them filed away in a drawer. And that way, when I'm feeling like garbage, I go pull that drawer out and I start reading notes from people that have written me notes over the years saying how much they appreciate this or they appreciate that. Think about the impact that can have when you take the time to write a note to someone and let them know how much you appreciate them. Send text message. How hard is it to send a text message? To say that, hey man, I love you, I appreciate you, thank you, I'm praying for you, whatever. Like it could be that short and that sweet. I mean, we can send text messages to our bae all day, but you can't send a text message to somebody and let them know how much you appreciate them, right? Or you, if you don't like to text and you do the Facebook thing, be careful with that. That can be really creepy, right? And here's, let me put some parameters on this. Dudes, like this is not an opportunity for you to lean in, to slide into somebody's DMs and tell them how much you appreciate them because they fine. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about genuine appreciation. I mean, there again, I do appreciate God and all his ability to create beauty, right? Hey, throw an acorn right there. The last one is this. Publicly express your appreciation. Publicly express your appreciation. Man, I think, and this kind of comes back to influence and making a difference in the world that we live in. How many times have we seen situations where you've got a husband and wife and they're out at lunch, if they even talk to each other, because half the time they're on their phones texting each other, I guess. And they just talk down to each other. And they talk bad about each other. Or you get the girlfriends and they're all out and they're bashing their husbands for the things that they do or the things that they don't do or the things that they do that annoy them. Or you get the dudes at the gym or around the water cooler and they're talking about their wives and all the things that they do that annoy them and all the things that they don't do that they wish they would do. What if we took time to appreciate people publicly, right? What if we made it known that we appreciate those that are closest to us? And I think what it does, man, it just creates a culture. It creates this atmosphere. In your life, at least, and wherever you go, that atmosphere goes with you. That culture goes with you. And so publicly express your, don't just leave it up here, right? Make sure that they know how much you appreciate them. Make sure that they understand how much you appreciate them. Don't ever just leave it internal. Make sure it's external, right? So those are the application, the things that we can do. Those are the starting points for us to take some of this and put it into practice. Real life. Man, first off, take the time to find things to appreciate. Don't focus on the flaws, because we don't want people focusing on our flaws. But we have a tendency to focus on the flaws of others. Because we have an excuse for every flaw that we have, but we don't give them an opportunity to excuse their flaws. Let's stop doing that. That's immature. Focus on the good. Find the things to appreciate in their life. Write some notes. Send some text messages. Call people. Don't call me, but call other people. I hate phone calls, man. Just my personal opinion. You can send me a text, but don't call me. Man, do these things. Like, put it into practice. And the more that we do it, the more natural it becomes. You know, the first letter you write is probably going to be like, right? Or I don't know, however you would start it. But the more that you do it, man, I've gotten some letters and I'm like, God, who is this, Shakespeare? Like, and it's just because they do it more and they put it into practice. And I think that when we do this, like, think about if every one of us begin to do this, and all of the people that we influence and all of the people that we come in contact with on a daily or weekly or monthly basis, think about the difference that can make in the world around us. Then you will be an oak of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. Amen. Let me pray for us. Father, we love you so much. God, this morning, fill our hearts with appreciation and thankfulness. God, help us to not get caught into this stupid trap where we just want more and we're consumed with more, that we don't appreciate what it is that we have right in front of us. Specifically, the relationships that you've entrusted us with. God, if we're married, that relationship, if we're dating that relationship, if we have children or grandchildren or whatever the case is, God, the relationships that we believe that you have put in our path, help us to be good stewards of those relationships, to be appreciative of those relationships. God, and not just be appreciative in our hearts, but be appreciative in our expressions, in our words, in our actions, to let those around us know how much we appreciate them. God, don't ever let it be something that goes unsaid or unknown, but help us to communicate that, to verbalize that, so that those around us know how much we appreciate them, and ultimately, how much we appreciate them because of what you've done for us. God, that our thankfulness to other people is simply an extension of our thankfulness to you. God, help us to be an oak of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of your splendor. Jesus, be glorified in our lives in every way. We love you, and it's in your incredible name we pray. And everybody say, amen. We'll be right back.